the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth, part of the Secret Recordings, back with a brand new episode, more Walt Disney World memories. Now, if you remember on the last episode, I said that I booked a last minute trip to Walt Disney World for the 4th of July. I've always wanted to go to America for Independence Day. I've always wanted to see the big fireworks at Epcot and Magic Kingdom. Well, I did go last weekend. I was in Walt Disney World. I only went for 3 nights. I literally flew out of London on the Thursday. I was back home on a Monday. I've started to work out how to do long weekends at Disney World. But as well as celebrating Independence Day and everything that that had to offer, I picked up so much just from 3 days at Disney World. So I thought I'd do a trip report on this episode. So if you've ever wanted to go for a long weekend, or if you haven't been for a while, I've got some top tips. I've got a Skyliner hack for you. I've got a few money-saving tips for you. And of course, I'll tell you, if you've ever wanted to go on the 4th of July, what goes on there. More in-depth about Independence Day at the end of the episode, but I just wanted to tell you about my trip, my three-night trip. Now, I've done this before. I've been to Walt Disney World for 3 nights. And when I say I've been for 3 nights, I don't mean I went for 3 nights and then I went somewhere else or I did a cruise. I literally flew in 3 nights at Walt Disney World and flew back home. Now, last time I went, I made the mistake of trying to do rope drop to fireworks and a Christmas party, which went on till after midnight. You can't do that. But I have learned how to do 3 nights at Disney World. And I'd like to share that with you. And people think I'm crazy, but you can't just go for 3 nights and come back. People go to New York for 3 nights and don't think anything of it. Yes, it's a shorter flight. It's like 2 hours longer to fly to Orlando. But I'm thinking you've got to deal with the jet lag and you still got to get to the airport and, you know, be there nice and early. So why is a couple of hours in the sky? Why should it be any different? I will point out, I'm very lucky that I have DVC. So, you know, I can move resorts quite easily. I'm also an annual pass holder, so I don't need to pay for like a 14-day ticket or expensive one-day ticket. So I can just go when I like, if you want. And also as well, the only reason I did this is because I found reward flights. So I flew with points. I don't think paying for a flight to Orlando, staying for 3 nights and coming home is a great idea. It's a lot of money to pay for a flight for 3 nights. Maybe it is different for New York. I think going to Orlando, I wouldn't do it if I was paying out of cash. But the fact that I was on points pretty much for everything, it just made it worthwhile. Another thing that made it easy as well, I was on an 8 o'clock flight. So I flew out on the Thursday morning with Virgin. The flight was just after 8 o'clock. Now, I've done this flight before. And this worked for me last time. I went in May and I stayed at Disney just for a couple of nights before I went on a cruise. So I kind of worked out how to get over jet lag. I kind of tested it on that because I thought doing an 8 o'clock in the morning flight and landing in Orlando at lunchtime and then having to stay awake for like 9-10 hours was going to be hard work. I thought it would be worse doing a really early flight. I actually think the opposite. I think that early morning 8 o'clock flight works. So what I did, you had to be up at like 5 o'clock to get to the airport. So if you think about that, technically you're getting up at midnight, Orlando time. So you're going to be awake pretty much for 24 hours. Don't think of it like that. That 8 o'clock flight, as soon as they got, once you get past the fact that they serve you dinner at like 10 o'clock in the morning, you're having like a chicken curry or fish at 10 o'clock in the morning, which is really strange, but it goes. I was so tired because I've been up early that I actually slept on that flight for a couple of hours. So there was a slight delay, but we still managed to land in Orlando at like, it was around lunchtime-ish, maybe 1 o'clock-ish. Firstly, we flew into Terminal C. Now, this was my first time flying into Orlando Airport at Terminal C. I love it. This terminal is beautiful. The doors opened. We walked on the bridge into the airport and they were playing music. I heard Madonna's Holiday. The terminal is bigger. It's brighter. It's got more of an atmosphere. You don't need to get on the little tram that takes you then to the luggage collection. None of that. None of that. You're basically off the plane. You pick up your luggage. You go through immigration and then you're in Orlando. I didn't need to pick up my luggage because I was only there for 3 nights. So that made it easy. It was all hand luggage. I've heard some reports of people flying to the new terminal and waiting a long time to pick up their luggage. So I didn't have experience of that. As I say, it was hand luggage. There was nobody in immigration. I did the whole, you know, the pre-immigration thing where you've got the app and I had that ready. Didn't need it because there was literally nobody in front of me. Off the plane, through immigration, went to get my Uber. Now, previously at Terminal A and B, I've had so many problems getting an Uber. I find it overwhelming. I find it confusing. I've also tried Mia's Connect. Again, it's hit and miss with Mia's Connect. You can be waiting a long time for your coach, and then it can be like 3 or 4 stops before your hotel. Or, on the other hand, you can be lucky, and the coach could be pretty much ready to go when you get on, and then you could be the first drop-off. I've experienced both of those things. But flying into Terminal C, I thought, I will give it a go. We'll give Uber a go because I've had Brightline. I've been on the Brightline train and I know that that's connected to Terminal C and I've had an Uber from the Brightline. So I thought, if in doubt, if it looks a bit busy and confusing, I'll just walk over to the train station and I'll get an Uber from there. Didn't need to. Order my Uber or Lyft and it was there within a few minutes and it was easy to find because, you know, I get stressed about American cars not having the number plate on the front. So I'm going, is this, what kind of car is this? Is this my car? It was really easy to get an Uber from outside Terminal C. So I am a big fan of Terminal C, both flying into and flying out of. I'll talk about my home flight later on. So I managed to get to the hotel. I think it was about 2 o'clock. I was staying at the Boardwalk. So I did one night at the Boardwalk, as I mentioned on DVC points. And then because it was so late, I couldn't do the 3 nights at the Boardwalk. There was no availability. But I did get 2 nights at Riviera as well. So one night at Boardwalk, 2 nights at Riviera. Easy to move because I've only got hand luggage. Now, this is what I learned last time I got the early flight. So we got into the room. We were lucky that it was available at 2 o'clock. I had a couple of hours sleep in the room. If you can, I would advise you to do this if you've got an early flight. So a couple of hours sleep on the plane. And then when I got to the room, I left the curtains open. I left the door open, actually, so I could hear outside. Just a bit of outside noise. So it's not like you're falling into a deep sleep. You don't want to trick your mind to think it's night. And if it is only like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, you can get away with that. Because in your head, it's not bedtime. I think if you try and do this later on, like 4 or 5, and you try and like have an hour's sleep, it's going to be game over because in your head, you've been up early and in your head, it's bedtime. So you'll get into a deep sleep. So leave the curtains open, leave the windows open, have an hour, set an alarm, have a coffee ready to go so you can wake up kind of fresh-ish about 4 or 5 o'clock and ready to have a plan to go to a park and stay outside and do something. So my plan for the first night was to go to Hollywood Studios. Now, I booked Lightning Lanes. I'm not a massive fan of Lightning Lanes. Firstly, I find them quite stressful. I think it takes over your day when you're using Lightning Lanes. But for this occasion, because I was only going to be there for like 3 full days, there were some new things I wanted to experience. I thought, I'm going to book Lightning Lanes. Let me log in. So bear in mind, I'm getting my Lightning Lanes on the day that I land. So I haven't got much of an advantage. I'm staying at Disney. So I've got the 7-day advantage, but I've not got the 7-day plus advantage if I'd booked it for later on in the 3-day trip. This was my first night. So you kind of like had to get what you were given. And quite often, you know, a lot of the good Lightning Lanes have gone, but you might get some availability in the evening. So my plan was, I hadn't done Muppets Rock and Roller Coaster. So I thought, if I can get Muppets Rock and Roller Coaster and a couple of other good things, that's quite a nice way to spend my evening. If I know that I've got 3 Lightning Lanes, I can book them all for the evening, That's going to keep me going. And if I can stay up to Fantasmic at 9 o'clock and then sit through that and then walk back to the hotel because I'm only at Boardwalk, that'd be a great night. I can tick off a few things at Hollywood Studios. So I went to book my 3 Lightning Lanes. I couldn't get Muppets Rock and Roller Coaster. 7 days out, it had gone. It's the big new attraction at Hollywood Studios. It's the one that goes first. Slinky Dog was available. There was a late night Slinky Dog for like 8 o'clock. So I thought, do you know what? I get Slinky Dog. I got my Tower of Terror and I got Toy Story Midway Mania. 3 great attractions. I'd also booked in dinner as well because last time I went, usually on the first night, you're not too hungry. But last time we went and it got to like 6 o'clock, I thought, do you know what? This is unusual. I'm hungry. So I thought, I'm going to book in somewhere for dinner at like 6 o'clock. So booked into Hollywood and Vine because being a pass holder, it was 40% off on that Thursday. It was still like £40 each. And it was still quite chaotic. It is like a chaotic school canteen, but with characters. Mickey and Minnie and Goofy and Pluto were there, actually. No ducks. Food was all right. The desserts weren't brilliant. I don't think they were just restocked, but I had quite a lot of good salads and there was a nice little carvery section. Yeah, the food was pretty decent. Got a few iced coffees, a few iced teas just to get me going. And it was a nice way to kind of, again, pan out my evening. Couple of Lightning Lanes, then do dinner and then get Muppets. Muppets wasn't available. That's all right. I'll do Toy Story. I'll do Slinky Dog. Haven't done that in ages. Hopefully it'll be nighttime-ish. I'll get to do that. So I did my couple of Lightning Lanes. Once again, checked to see if I could get anything else. Managed to get Smuggler's Run. Again, I hadn't done that before with the new one with the Mandalorian and Grogu. So that's another thing ticked off. Whilst I was having dinner, there was a few lightning storms in the area. It didn't actually rain, but because there was lightning storms nearby, it meant that Toy Story Slinky Dog was down. So I was supposed to do dinner, Slinky Dog, Fantasmic, call it a night. Slinky Dog was down and unfortunately didn't come back up. However, it meant because Slinky Dog's a tier one attraction and Muppets was a tier one attraction, it meant I got to use my Lightning Lane on another tier one attraction, which meant I could do Muppets. So I actually eventually got to do Muppets Rock and Roller Coaster, which I loved. I'm a fan of the Muppets. I've been channeling this for years. I've been trying to manifest that Dr. Teeth and the American Mayhem, the Electric Mayhem, were to take over this attraction from Aerosmith. And they did. It came true. Here's a few things. Firstly, because I did a Lightning Lane, 2 things to know. The Lightning Lane takes longer to go through than you realise. And I remember actually now this from the Aerosmith days. It was a good 45 minutes. Now, I got in line for this about 20 past 8, thinking I could do that. And then because of where I am, I'm going to be straight into Fantasmic. I'm going to sit at the back so I could get out early. But as long as I can get into Fantasmic just before it starts, I'm happy with that. I wasn't out of the attraction till after 9 o'clock. So Fantasmic was game over. Because by the time we got there and got in and got a seat and be that person, it would be halfway through the show. And then, you know, we'd have to walk back. So we thought, we'll call it a night. Let's not bother with Fantasmic. But did get to do Muppets. I loved it. I loved the layout of it. Yes, the ride is the same. I saw a lot of people go, but it's just the same ride. Well, yeah, they're not going to dismantle the ride and rebuild it. But the story's completely different. I didn't get to go through. There is a part of the queue where you get to see costumes and props. The Lightning Lane kind of avoids that, but I would like to go back. Maybe I'd rope drop it and then I could see like Kermit's little suit or Animal's drum kit, but I didn't get to see that part. I did get the pre-show. Another tip, if you're doing Muppets and you like the Muppets, stay back after the pre-show. So you'll know it's Scooter and the Penguins in there. And it's a similar story. But if you stay till the end, till the whole thing finishes, Sweetums comes in. If you want to see the whole thing, just hang back at the end. Enjoy the queue, because once you get through that, there's a few other little Muppets Easter eggs in the queue line, some stuff that they brought over from Muppets 3D. The ride was great. I loved it. It wasn't my best song. It wasn't one I was hoping for. We got Def Leppard. I was hoping for the one that had the chickens on it, but we didn't get that. But you know, I loved it. I loved it. So people who were dissing the Muppets going, basically, it's the same. Well, it's not. Yes, it's the same roller coaster. What do you expect? But it's completely different. And I really enjoyed it. I'll tell you what else I enjoyed as well. I enjoyed Animation Courtyard at Hollywood Studios. I've not been since they did that. So obviously they're flipping what was Star Wars Bay. It's going to be Animation Courtyard. So inside the building isn't open yet. It will be open soon. Maybe we'll find out more about that at D23, but there'll be character meets in there. There'll be the animation classes in there that they used to do. But outside, it was just a hive of activity. There were characters around. Goofy was there. Rapunzel was there doing some photographs. Donald Duck was walking around with a fishing rod, getting up to no good. It was just bonkers. Stitch was there. He was on like the lawn playing games with some of the kids. I'm thinking, this is what it's about. This is just kids having fun with characters. I really love what they've done. I love that Pluto's Corner and the entrance to the actual studios in Burbank, California, where I went earlier on this year, they've kind of recreated that. I just love what they've done. I love the details. It really felt like old school Hollywood has come back to Hollywood Studios. I did also get to go to the Disney Junior Dance Party that has just reopened as well. I have never even done that before, but I was in desperate need of aircon. And let's face it, Disney World in July. I've never been in July, by the way. July, August, September. I've never really been in the height of summer. Man, it's hot. Wow, it's hot. It's hot and humid. I thought it had been hot and humid in the UK for a few weeks. It was when we'd had the heatwave here. I thought it was going to be the same. No, it's another level. However, they do have air conditioning and Mickey Mouse. So yeah, I enjoyed Disney Junior Dance Party. I enjoyed what they'd done with Animation Courtyard. I enjoyed Smuggler's Run. As I say, I managed to get on that with the Lightning Lane. So I got use of my Lightning Lanes that I paid for. Annoyingly, I usually do Smuggler's Run to fly the Millennium Falcon. I usually do Single Rider. When you do Single Rider, you end up at the back. You end up as the engineer, which is the one that nobody wanted. But now they've flipped it. The engineer has stuff to do with Grogu. You get, you know, to interact with Baby Yoda. Because I used the Lightning Lane, I got to the front of the queue. I ended up as pilot, which I didn't want. The one time I get pilot is the time I didn't want it. But it was fun. It seemed easier to fly the Millennium Falcon than it had done on previous occasions. But again, another flight. It's only, it's months since I was at Disney World, but so many new things. Muppets was new. The Animation Courtyard was new. The Millennium Falcon was new. And there's always something that you've never done before. There's always a restaurant or something you've never done before. So really, a great first night. Saying I'd only flown in that day, that evening, I really did think that I'd nailed Hollywood Studios. My original intention was then the following morning was to go back to Hollywood Studios. Being an annual pass holder, you have to book which park you want to go to first thing in the morning. You can park up, but you need to tell them which one you want to go in. So originally, I was going to go back to Hollywood Studios to rope drop Muppets. But because I'd done Muppets, I thought, let's do something else. I'd noticed that Magic Kingdom was open early on the Friday morning. I'm talking like 7:30 early. The park opened at 8 for regular guests. But being on resort, I got to go in at 7:30, and being up early, I knew it was going to be up early. So I thought, well, let's just flip it. Let's start the day at Magic Kingdom, which is where we wanted to end the night, because this was the 3rd of July. So that night was the first night of the Independence Day fireworks. So we were going to go to Magic Kingdom anyway that night. So we decided, rather than rope dropping Hollywood Studios, let's rope drop Magic Kingdom. I'm so glad we did. This is what I did, right? My Magic Kingdom morning. So we were in there, I think when the bus came, we got to the park around, I think it was about 7:15. Obviously, Magic Kingdom had opened by then. It was just a nice stroll in down Main Street. I wasn't really going to achieve anything. I didn't really have any objectives. My main point of doing the entire trip was to experience 4th of July. That's what I wanted. So anything else was a bonus. Now, the one thing I had headed for was to Tron. Now, they always say that Tron doesn't open early. That extra early morning half an hour, Tron isn't included. Right. The last few times I've been, Tron has been open in that half an hour. So I don't know why they don't say it is. Maybe they could experience technical problems, so they're never quite sure, so they don't say. But I was on and off Tron before 8 a.m. There was nobody in there. And then at 8 o'clock was when the rest of the park was going to open. So I thought, well, let's head over, get over to the Big Thunder area. So when they open that area, it can be first in line for Big Thunder. So I went from Tron to Big Thunder. By the time I got there, it was like 8 o'clock. So people started walking into Big Thunder. And basically, we just walked through, sweating, by the way. 8 o'clock in the morning, pumping with sweat. The sun was so ridiculously hot. Take a hat. Remember your sunscreen, even at 8 o'clock in the morning. Straight off Big Thunder, straight onto Tiana. Again, Tiana. Tiana's Bayou Adventure / Mountain was a walk-on. I'd walked on Tron, I'd walked on Big Thunder, I'd walked on to Tiana, and then like within an hour, we were on Pirates. Then headed over to Haunted Mansion. Again, pretty much a walk-on. It was like maybe 15 minutes by that point. As it was the 4th of July that weekend, I thought maybe this is the time to do Hall of Presidents. So we did Hall of Presidents, went over to Gaston's Tavern, actually. That was where breakfast was. Yep, cinnamon roll. Always ask for extra icing. They have got a DVC lounge at Magic Kingdom. So we went over there for a little bit of aircon and a drink. Then we realized that because it was a busy weekend, the parade had doubled. So there were two, as well as being at 3 o'clock, the Festival of Fantasy Parade was also at midday. So this is like 11 o'clock. We were in the DVC lounge. I went to see Country Bears as well because, you know, there's never a queue for that. I had some time in the DVC lounge. And then we watched the parade. Midday, watched the parade, had a bit of a walk through the shops, headed over to Epcot for a little bit of lunch. Walking through Epcot, by the way, we spotted Mickey Mouse in his 4th of July outfit over at the American Adventure, at the American Pavilion. They call this the Spirit of 76. Now, he only wears this outfit on the actual 4th of July. Or so I thought, because meeting Mickey Mouse in his Independence Day outfit was on my list of things to do on the 4th of July. I'll talk more later on, by the way, about the actual Independence Day stuff. But we went to Epcot for a bit of lunch. The plan then was to have a couple of hours either by the pool or a nap or a bit of both. So we walked past Mickey. We saw there was a queue because obviously a lot of people didn't realise it was going to be out on the 3rd, 4th and 5th. I asked the cast member, I said, how long is the queue? It looks quite busy. They went, 45 minutes to an hour. And I thought, no, I'm not standing in the heat in this 45 minutes to an hour. So the plan was to come back the following day, 4th of July, and use the rope drop time to get in line early to meet Mickey. More about that later on. So we avoided meeting Mickey, Pluto and Goofy in their Spirit of 76 outfits. Headed back to the hotel, got a couple of hours there because we then wanted to go back to Magic Kingdom. Couple of hours at Magic Kingdom before the fireworks at night, the 4th of July fireworks, which were also on the 3rd, 4th and 5th. I watched them somewhere very different. So I'll tell you about that later on. But when we did go back to Magic Kingdom, again, a few attractions were pretty much a walk-on. Did People Mover, got to do People Mover. That was pretty much a walk-on. Space Mountain was 20 minutes, did Space Mountain. Thought about doing the Carousel of Progress because that was about to close a couple of days later. But the queues for Carousel, I think that's where everybody was. Everybody was queuing to get into the Carousel of Progress before it went down for 12 months. So that's where everybody was. By that time, the kind of atmosphere for the 4th of July fireworks on the 3rd was starting to build. There was a dance party in front of the castle. There's dance parties over at Frontierland and Tomorrowland. But more about that later on when I talk about the 4th. So I'll talk about the 4th of July fireworks and where I saw them on the second part of this podcast. But let me continue my trip because the following day was the actual 4th. That's where I was going to go and meet the characters and do the Voices of Liberty and really kind of tick off on the actual 4th of July some real Americana. I'd already booked lunch at Space 220, which, do you know what, wasn't worth it. I've been keeping my eye on Space 220 Lounge that hadn't come up, but a lunch reservation had come up. It's a set menu now. So it's two courses at lunch. It's three courses at dinner. And for the price, I think it was like $55 for two courses, which was like a main and a dessert. Doesn't include soft drinks, by the way. I thought it included my soft drinks. So when my bill came and I found out it was like $4, $5 just for a Coke Zero, that was a little bit shocking on top of the $55 I paid for two courses, plus tax, plus gratuity. Also managed to book in a lightning lane for Guardians and in Guardians for a while. I thought, well, I'm only going to be here for a weekend. So the only lightning lanes I booked were the three passes for my first night at Hollywood Studios and then a lightning lane for Guardians. Then the plan was to do Soaring Across America because they've done an American overlay where you saw across famous American landmarks. The line for that all day was like 30, 40 minutes at the most. When I got there about 7 o'clock, it was 90 minutes, an hour and a half. And I was thinking, well, the fireworks are at nine. I'm going to have to pitch up for the fireworks. So I'm going to have to give this a go. So again, it was another time to pivot plans. I'll talk about the 4th of July fireworks later on. But yeah, we didn't do Soaring on the 4th of July. Ended up doing it on the 5th. So once again, was going to do a park pass, was going to rope drop Animal Kingdom on the morning of the 5th. But because we hadn't done Soaring, I wanted to make sure I'd done that because I've not done Soaring Across America. So flipped our park pass to start the day at Epcot. We were staying at the Riviera as well, so it kind of made sense that we were just on the Skyliner there, straight into the Riviera, to rope drop soaring. But I had a bit of a thought. I was going, this is like 8:15. You know, it doesn't, you know, for hotel guests, it wasn't looking that busy. It did feel really quiet. I thought, let's just have a look at Guardians. Let's just see how busy Guardians is. We've got all day. You know, we don't need to get an Uber until 4:00 to fly home tonight. So we literally got all day at Epcot. Let's try and do Guardians again. There was hardly any line for Guardians. This was like just before 8:30. So I got in line for Guardians. The attraction line opened. Bang on 8:30. In we went. Everybody filed through. I thought, oh, I'm probably just going to walk straight into this. It'll be a slow walk. And we stopped. And we waited. And we waited. And then the announcement started coming that, unfortunately, it was down for unforeseen reasons. And we left it to 8:55. So bear in mind, the ride should have been open like 25 minutes ago. At 9:00, the park officially opens for other guests. I thought, do you know what? We came here to do soaring. I've not done soaring. So we had to, after standing in line for Guardians, pivot, get out of line for Guardians, head over to Soaring Across America, which I did. I'll mention that later on because that's part of my 4th of July report, if you like. Then had a walk around World Showcase, wanted to get a little bit of breakfast. Heard that there was a cinnamon bun in the Norway Pavilion, like a lemon cinnamon bun. Wanted to get that. So got that. Got an iced coffee. Really nice, by the way. It is. Is it my favourite? Is it better than Gaston's Tavern cinnamon bun? No, it's not. But if you're at Epcot and you've got cinnamon bun and icing craving, you need the icing. That it's really, it's the icing is the star in Kringle Bakery, isn't it, in Norway? So yeah, the icing is the star, but it was good. I got my iced coffee, realised when we came out, and this was like, I'm saying 10:00 in the morning. The queue for Frozen Ever After was posted at 15 minutes. So I'm in the Norway Pavilion. I'm looking at that going, that's 15 minutes. It's 10:00. We've got to do this. We've got to do this. So we got in line for Frozen Ever After, thinking it was 15 minutes. We got to the entrance where you actually go in the building and the line stopped. A lot of people joined the back of the line, looked at it and going, this isn't 15 minutes. We're not like queuing just out the door. This is not 15 minutes because we know that that winds in and out. So people turned around and went back. But I thought, no, says 15 minutes. I'm going to go with this. I've got my iced coffee here. I'll sip this and maybe in about 15 minutes, I'll finish my iced coffee just as I get to the front of the line. I didn't finish my iced coffee when I got to the front of the line because the line moved so fast. They didn't actually utilize the inside queue area. It was just one line from the door straight to the boat at the attraction. I had to neck my coffee. I'm saying it was like 5-10 minutes at most. This is 10:00 in the morning. Frozen, a walk on the 4th of July weekend. I don't know where everybody was during the day. It was busy at night for the fireworks, but during the day, really quiet. We went from Norway over to the France Pavilion. I fancied a champagne, so I got a champagne from there. We thought, well, let's go and have a look at Ratatouille. I think that was about an hour. We thought, oh, we've got time. Let's single ride a Ratatouille. There was nobody in the single line for Ratatouille. So not only did we get in Ratatouille, and some, we'll do the single line because me and my other half, we will quite often end up in the same ride vehicle. We'll end up in the same rat, sat behind each other. Not on this occasion. We were sat together. There were so many big groups of people. I think a lot of families went with it being 4th of July. So were there groups of like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 people? I think it overwhelmed cast members. So it was easy for them to go, you two, just get in that car. Just while we sort out who's going where, just get in that car. Otherwise, it's going to go round half empty. So yeah, an incredible morning at Epcot. Once again, first night at Hollywood Studios, bang stuff out. A morning at Magic Kingdom, bang stuff out. A morning at Epcot, banged a load of stuff out. We got a lunch reservation over at Disney Springs. I'd been craving the cinnamon roll, the massive cinnamon roll at Summer House on the Lake. They only do it at weekends. Weekend brunch is the only time you can get it. I was really craving that, so I made the reservation. Couldn't get a reservation online, by the way, but I went to Open Table. There's loads of reservations available for that. So there's another top tip. Always go to Open Table. So we managed to go over to Disney Springs for lunch. The dilemma to get to Disney Springs, because there's no direct buses from the parks to Disney Springs. So it was either we get the bus from Epcot entrance to Coronado and then just walk from Coronado, or we walk out of World Showcase, go to either Boardwalk or Beach Club and get
the bus there that goes direct to Disney Springs. But we decided to get the bus to Coronado. We walked from Coronado. We had like an hour walking around Disney Springs, had a look around the shop. That's where everybody was, by the way. World of Disney was rammed on that Sunday lunchtime. Went to Summer House on the Lake, but because I'd already had a cinnamon bun that morning in the Norway Pavilion, my craving for the giant cinnamon bun had gone. So I only went there for the cinnamon roll, didn't have it, had a salad instead. Now, I like the salads at Summer House. I made the mistake of trying something different. They've got a brilliant kale salad at Summer House on the Lake, but I thought, you know what, let's go for something else. There was a sprout salad. I thought, we'll try that. Wasn't a fan. Yeah, it was a little bit tasteless. So it was a bit of a wasted journey, really, going to Summer House on the Lake. I didn't got what I went for, and what I could have added, didn't have. Should have gone for some fried chicken at Chef Art Smith's. They had a big 4th of July weekend menu on as well. But I did get a summer old-fashioned, by the way, from Summer House on the Lake. Anything you like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, sitting outside by the lake, which is a beautiful view, by the way. If you've never been to Summer House on the Lake, do ask if you can sit on the patio at the back. It is a little bit on the warm side because you don't get the air conditioning, but it is covered and you may get a slight breeze. It was beautiful, just sat out there by the lake, watching the cars go by, the Ampi cars, are they called? It really was great. And that summer old-fashioned was really refreshing. Not a heavier old-fashioned than you would get. A whiskey-based drink, really nice. For dessert, I was really craving a Dole Whip. I think it's because the weather was so hot. So we headed over to Swirls on the Water over at Disney Springs, where you can get a Dole Whip flight before getting the bus back. We spent quite a couple of hours over at Disney Springs. We were going to get an Uber back to the airport about 4 o'clock from the resort. So we just kind of hung fire and then got the bus back from Disney Springs. And yes, they do check that you're staying at a resort. It doesn't matter which resort you're staying at. We were going back to our own resort anyway. But basically, they check your magic bands just as you're going into the bus station. So they don't check it as you're getting on the bus. They check it at the bus station. Same if you're getting on the water vehicles as well from Disney Springs to French Quarter. Same as well if you're thinking, oh, we can scam this. We'll just walk over to Coronado Springs and get the resort bus from there. I know they'll check you to go into that resort as well. So if you're not staying on site, you will not get to a Disney hotel or a Disney park from Disney Springs, I'm afraid. So if you're thinking of leaving your car over at Disney Springs for free, which I think is what they were playing at, then yeah, they got a way around it now. But you know what? I don't mind. It was fine. So they got the Uber back over to MCO Terminal 3. I booked in for MCO Reserve, which is kind of like a fast pass. You book a time to go through security. Didn't need it. Not a single person in line. I love Terminal 3. And there is so much to do the other side. The great thing is about Terminal 3, you go through security and then that's where all the shops are. The worst thing about Terminal A and B, like the Disney shop and the Universal shop, they're before security. And then when you get through security, all there is that kind of like measly Nathan's hot dog and a Burger King. Like there's nothing to eat over there. It's a horrible terminal. Whereas Terminal 3, you go through security, then you've got your shops, you've got your Disney store, you've got your Universal store. Chef Art Smith has got a little place there where you can get food and drink. There's a wine bar, there's a Summer House on the Lake, a few other places, a cinnamon bun place there. There's really loads of places to eat. Good job, because our flight was slightly delayed. So we managed to go over to Chef Art Smith's for another cocktail pre-flight. Finally, before I wrap this up, we're going to take a break in just a sec. I'll tell you about the 4th of July. My flight back had the Wi-Fi, the Starlink Wi-Fi for free. And it just so happened to be that my flight back, which departed, I think it was about 8 o'clock at night. It was the same night that England were playing Mexico. Do you remember that 2 a.m. kickoff? Well, I got to watch that on a plane and it was brilliant. I got my phone out. I connected to the Starlink Wi-Fi. No problem. I streamed through BBC iPlayer because I thought, well, even if the Wi-Fi is good, is it going to let me go on BBC iPlayer? Because, you know, if you're trying to get on BBC iPlayer in America, it doesn't let you. It's blocked. But I don't know why. But I was allowed to get on BBC iPlayer. And yes, I watched the England match 40,000 feet in the sky, somewhere between England and Mexico. And we won. So, yeah, well done, Virgin Atlantic, for that free Wi-Fi. Perfect timing, if you don't mind. So that was my trip report from Walt Disney World. But I did go there to celebrate the 4th of July, to celebrate Independence Day, which I've wanted to do for ages. Was it worth it? I'll give you a rundown of my Independence Day weekend or my Americana after we've taken a quick break.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
So I've always wanted to go to Walt Disney World to celebrate the 4th of July weekend. I've always wanted to go. I've always wanted to see the big 4th of July Independence Day fireworks at Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Never made it. Every year I think, could I go? Could I go? This year, the planets aligned and I really wanted to go this year because it was the 250th anniversary of American independence. What does it say now? I saw it on a Sam Eagle t-shirt, the semi-quincentennial, if I'm not mistaken. So as the planets aligned, managed to book a last minute flight with points. There were some DVC rooms. My annual pass wasn't blocked out. So the main things I wanted to do were to see the fireworks. Fireworks at the Magic Kingdom and fireworks at Epcot. Now, the Magic Kingdom fireworks are on the 4th of July, plus one other night, depending on whether it falls either the night before or the night after. The 4th of July fireworks at Epcot were only on the 4th of July. This year, though, because of the 250th, they were on three nights, 3rd, 4th and 5th. So I landed on the 2nd and I was coming back on the 5th. So it was only really the 3rd and 4th that I could get to see the fireworks for the 4th of July. So the first night on the 3rd was when I decided to go and see the Magic Kingdom fireworks. Now they go at 9 o'clock every night instead of Happily Ever After. I wasn't quite sure where to watch. I watched a lot of vlogs. Bear in mind, this was a last minute trip, so I wasn't quite sure where to watch the fireworks from, because these are 360 degree fireworks. They go off from many locations, not just at the front and the side of the castle, but also from behind you as well, from around the Seven Seas Lagoon. So many fireworks. Where should I watch them? If I watch them in the park, was it going to be really busy? So I checked. I thought, as I'm, you know, doing this as a one-off, money there for a weekend, let's Disney math. Let's throw money at the problem. Let's see if there's a dessert party. No dessert parties. I checked for the other nights as well. There's no dessert parties at all. I thought, well, maybe what about the California Grill at the top of Bay Lake Tower? Because I could go for a meal there and then watch the fireworks from above. I think that would be quite a good view. Once again, checked the 3rd, 4th and 5th. There was just no availability whatsoever. But because I am a DVC owner, I called DVC. They have a lounge at the Top of the World, the Top of the World Lounge, and they have various events that are on. It's open every night and you can go up there and watch the fireworks from there anyway. So I thought, I'll phone them up, see if there's anything going on. This is like 2 weeks before the 4th of July, for when I literally just booked it. And they said, well, it's actually not open that weekend at all. There's nothing going on. You can't go up there. I thought, oh, that's really strange. It's open every night. Surely one of the busiest nights of the year and you're not open. That's really odd. And then about a week before I went, I saw people posting on Facebook on one of the DVC groups that they'd had an email to say that there was a special kind of like cocktail dessert night and it was $149. So I got on the phone straight away and I said, have you got any availability for this special Top of the World DVC members only? I'm prepared to spend $149. Again, Disney maths. This is like, you know, a once in a lifetime again. Unfortunately, it already sold out. It already sold out. I wasn't sure whether it was sold out or it was limited to people who were just staying at Bay Lake Tower, but I was prepared to pay $149 for, and this is what you got, one drink, one main and a dessert platter, but a great view of the fireworks from the top of Bay Lake Tower. And it is a really good view. Bay Lake Tower is actually nearer than where you would stand if you've been to California Grill. It's the other building. He said, unfortunately, it's completely sold out. He said, but we've still got spaces at the top for our free reservation. I said, sorry, what? He said, yes, there's a free viewing area. So part of that viewing area is cordoned off for the people who pay the $149, but the rest of it is open. But you have to book in and we will take a credit card guarantee. It's nothing to be up there. It's free to be up there. But if you don't show, you will be charged. So, no, don't worry about that. I'll take the free one, if you don't mind. So I managed to get a great view from the top of Bay Lake Tower for free. In fact, when I got there, the fireworks were at 9, got there about 8 o'clock. And as I checked in, they gave me the wristband. They went, oh, we've had some cancellations for the dessert party, $149. I went, no, you're all right. I don't want to pay $149 for a drink. There's a bar up there anyway. I'll just pay $20. Even if I have to pay $20 for a cocktail, I'll pay $20, which is what I did. And an incredible view. Firstly, the sunset from up there is spectacular. You can see everything. The castle and Space Mountain. You can see across the lagoons. You can't see Epcot because that's kind of at the back of you. There's buildings in the way there. But in terms of a view of the 4th of July fireworks, I think it's the best view I could have had. If I was there for another night and I had another opportunity to see them, I would have probably risked watching it from the parks just to see. But I'm thinking, if you were in the parks, there's going to be some part of the fireworks that you wouldn't see. Because as I say, they literally do go off everywhere. I think they went off from the ferry terminal at Magic Kingdom, because I know there was no ferries before and after the fireworks for about an hour. And it looked like there was fireworks going off there. Not just one or two in addition to what was going on in front of the castle, but like the whole 15-minute display. I have never seen so many fireworks at Disney World over such a wide area. I know that, I think they say they do 360 fireworks at the Halloween party and the Christmas party. I don't think they're as big as this. There seem to be more locations. The little island in Seven Seas Lagoon by the Polynesian there was fireworks going off there as well. So being at the top of Bay Lake Tower, I really did get a full view right across. The music is piped in. It's like, it's all the typical American national anthem, Star Spangled Banner, I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, all kind of like stuff like that. The traditional American songs that you would expect on the 4th of July. There isn't really any projections on the castle on the 4th of July. It's not like Happily Ever After where they project things on there. There is like lights that are on the castle. But actually, there's nothing to see on the castle. So really, even though I was in the park, I don't think you have to stand and look at the castle for these fireworks. As I say, they're on the 3rd, 4th and 5th. So seeing them there was spectacular. If I could go back and watch them again, I would like to see what they look like in the parks. But if I do go back for the 4th of July again, or indeed for New Year's Eve, because of the New Year's Eve fireworks, the same, they run over a few nights, I would see if I could get a Bay Lake Tower or the Polynesian Beach. I think to watch the fireworks on the Polynesian Beach for the 4th of July or for New Year's Eve, I think you have to be staying there. I think it's limited. I think they give you wristbands. It's only for people who are staying at Polynesian. But you would get another different view there because you would see the fireworks from the park and from the lagoon as well. But really spectacular. What a great way. What a great first night. The second night, I went to watch the fireworks from Epcot. Slightly different at Epcot. Now, these only used to be on the 4th of July, and maybe they'll go back to that next year. But this particular weekend, 3rd, 4th and 5th, but we were there on the 4th. Slightly different in that they have the normal firework display at 9 o'clock at Epcot, and then the 4th of July fireworks are tagged on to the end, and they come off the top of the American Pavilion. So usually when I say you're going to watch the fireworks at Epcot, because there are so many places to see it, I'm quite happy, like, just before it starts, just to stop and watch from wherever I am. Anywhere around World Showcase, I think you get a great view of the Epcot fireworks. This particular reason, though, I wanted to be looking across at the American Pavilion. So basically anywhere between the UK Pavilion and Mexico, anywhere on that side, as long as you're facing across, will be where to watch it. We met some friends. We were going to do Soaring Across America. The queue was too long, so we ended up just using our time. Actually, we got a good view. We really got a good spot right in the middle to look at the fireworks, and we were just chatting there. So it turned out to be a great use of time. And I have never seen so many fireworks going off at once. This 4th of July tag at the end, basically, they just let everything off. Like, it is so loud. The sky is just full of fireworks and pyros, and the music is great. The music is very uplifting. Again, it's very similar. It's that traditional uplifting American national kind of light fireworks, but really, really spectacular. I'm so glad I've been. I have been to Epcot on New Year's Eve, and it's the same for New Year's Eve at Epcot. They do New Year's Eve fireworks only at midnight on New Year, but they have dance parties and stuff. Epcot on New Year's Eve, by the way, is an absolute blast. If you've never done that, I think I've mentioned that on a previous episode, but yeah, that's good. So yeah, I did get to see the fireworks. I got to meet Mickey Mouse in his American, Well, basically, he looks like somebody off the cast of the musical Hamilton. It's his spirit of 76. So Mickey, Pluto and Goofy, they only used to come out on the 4th. As I mentioned, this particular year, they came out on the 3rd, 4th and 5th. I passed them on the 3rd, not knowing they were going to be there. And the queue was about an hour. I thought, I'm not waiting in that. I'm going to rope drop it. I'm going to use my rope drop time. So we got there about 20 past 8 on the 4th of July, only to find the queue was twice as long. But we were there. So we queued up. We got in line about 20 past 8 and we met them just after 10:30, stood outside in the baking sunshine. We were hoping that we were going to be done by 10:30 because there was a big military fly past at 10:30, which went over the castle. And then a few minutes later went over the Epcot ball. So we did get to see that right at the front of the line, actually. We were next in line to meet the characters. So the characters stood beside us watching the flyover. So that was pretty cool. Then got to spend some time in the American Pavilion because I wanted to listen to the Voices of Liberty. They do a special performance only on the 4th of July, the Voice of Liberty in the Rotunda. But not just in the Rotunda. There are more cast members who come out to perform as well. And they appear on the balcony. And they do, you know, the big song at the end of the American Adventure show? They perform that as well. Again, that was only on the 4th of July. So yeah, really an incredible 4th of July. I'm so glad I did it. I would do it again. Now I've worked out how to do 3 days or to do a long weekend at Walt Disney World. Yeah, you've got a nap in the afternoon. You can't push it too late. You can't rope drop to fireworks and then not expect to be absolutely knackered at the end. There was a few things that I didn't do that I wanted to do for the 4th of July. I wanted to get a hot dog from Casey's Corner because that's like so American, isn't it? I wanted to do that. Didn't go to the Regal Eagle. Did have a 4th of July margarita from the Mexico Pavilion, strangely, on the same day that Mexico were playing England. But yeah, an incredible weekend. Got to do Soarin' as well. Yeah, of course, got to do Soarin' across America. I think still my favourite is Soarin' across California, the original one, I like the smell of the oranges. But the Soarin' across America is a great thing to do for the 250th. It's an entirely new film. You fly over Grand Canyon and the Hollywood sign and the Statue of Liberty. I'm not quite sure how long that's going to run for, but definitely worth seeing. I wish those little scenes in between were just a little bit longer. But yeah, it was a great thing to do for the 250th. I managed to tick off everything that I wanted to do. Would I go again to celebrate 4th of July? Do you know what? I think I would. And to quote Sam Eagle, it was a salute to all nations, but mostly America. Put some of those pictures, by the way, up on the socials at Pod Magical if you want to have a look at some of my experiences from just a weekend at Disney World, 4th of July. If you go in soon, enjoy. It's very hot. Oh my word, is it hot. Temperatures, highs of around 34 degrees, even overnight it only drops around to like the low 20s. Do expect those storms, but plan ahead. I kind of like work out now when they're going to come. So, you know, use that as your chill time. Have a little snooze or go for a drink or whatever. Pound to dollars are about 1.34. Cool Kids Summer continues. So much fun if you've got little ones who want to just play around with the characters, mostly in air conditioning. Most of them are actually in air conditioning venues. We're almost at Halloween. I can't believe I'm saying this. 3 weeks' time. If you listen to this podcast on the day it releases, 3 weeks is the start of Halloween. The first Halloween party at Magic Kingdom will be on August the 7th. It'll be a few weeks after that before the food and wine at Epcot. 27th of August is the start of the food and wine. Do enjoy Epcot without any festivals. Diet Epcot is what people are calling it because there's so many incredible snacks that when food and wine or flower and garden is on, you kind of forget about, you know, the grapefruit beer or the pretzel bread pudding, or that cinnamon, the lemon cinnamon roll from the Norway Pavilion. Fish and chips! I mean, there's so many great little snacks at Epcot. Enjoy Diet Epcot. Enjoy walking around without any food booths getting your way or too many drunk people. Then another date for your diary. I mentioned before about the brand new animation courtyard at Hollywood Studios. That will open on September the 14th. You'll be able to go inside. A few of the things in there. There's the Once Upon a Studio Theatre where you'll be able to see the actual animation that started it all, the big animation that they did for the 100th celebration of the company. Olaf Draws, where you can learn to draw the Olaf Way. Off the page is where you will get to meet various characters. That's where the meet and greets will be, I'm guessing. As I say, they'll probably be moving inside there. I hope they keep them outside as well. And Drawn to Wonderland, which is an indoor play area based around Alice in Wonderland. So that whole area will open on September the 14th at Hollywood Studios. Also, it's going to be D23 in 4 weeks' time. This is the big fan convention over in Anaheim, where we'll get a lot of park announcements for all Disney parks and cruises around the world. Not quite sure whether there's going to be anything like groundbreaking for Walt Disney World. I think we know a lot that's coming with Villains Land and the Animation Courtyard and Tropical Americas over at Animal Kingdom. I think we might get more details about what's happening. I know there's a rumour going around that Space Mountain might be up for a bit of a refurb. Oh, fingers crossed, I hope it is. That attraction has not been changed since it was built over 50 years ago. I hate the queue. The attraction is very uncomfortable. So a complete overlay is what's being rumoured. So we'll have to wait and see. 4 weeks' time, D23, any big news announcements? Just before we wrap up the podcast, let me give you a top tip. Always end the podcast on a top tip. The top tip for this episode, never leave anything for your last day. A lot of people, especially if you've got little ones, you go, oh, do you know what? We'll save happily ever after to the last night before we go home. We'll have adjusted to jet lag, or we'll leave Fantasmic to the end. Never save anything to your last day, because you just never know if something's going to get cancelled, if weather cancels something, if the crowds are overwhelming. Maybe you miss a bus or it doesn't turn up. This happened to me once a few years ago, staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. We waited over an hour for the bus to Magic Kingdom. We booked a dessert party. We missed the dessert party. Thankfully, they moved it. But we ended up missing the fireworks completely. So never, ever save anything until your last day, just in case anything crops up, because you can't go back and do it the following day because you'll be on your way home. That's our tip for this episode of the podcast. We'll be back with more adventures and new guests in 2 weeks' time. If you want to like and subscribe and do all that, follow us on the socials, at PodMagical is where we are. And until next time, please, stand clear of the doors.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.